This podcast is brought to you in part by ChoiceRealtyConnect.com. Whether you're buying or selling a home, condo, or any type of property, trust Amanda to help match you with up to three top agents in your area. ChoiceRealtyConnect.com. Hey, all you rock stars from Washington, D.C. This is the Rock and the Money Podcast, episode 139. Time to talk about saving, investing, and protecting all of your hard-earned monies. We are here to coach you along that path to retirement and financial independence. I am Craig, your certified master financial coach, along with Amanda. She is a corporate in-house lawyer and real estate referral agent, and we're so grateful you've joined us. Check us out on Facebook at Rock on the Money or the website at rockonthemoney.com. Hey.
Hey.
Hey. How's the camping going?
Same old, still waiting to take her out for round two.
So where are your destinations on the East Coast that you talked about last episode?
Well, I prefer not to disclose them.
Oh, then good point. Good point. But I would assume.
In case my stalkers are listening.
I do the same thing.
Yeah.
Hey, we have six great questions that are hitting everything. So let's just jump right into this one.
Let's do it.
Number one, I am interested in side hustles to pay off my mortgage in 5 years. Any ideas? Holy cow. If nothing, we've learned nothing from the pandemic. It's how many different ways people found to make money.
Yes.
It has been life-changing for many people to the point where they've quit their jobs to do their side hustles. It's been that good.
And the possibilities are really endless.
Endless. The internet changes everything.
You're only limited by your imagination.
Really, it is. What do you think some of the big ones are?
Well, so the obvious ones are, you know, delivering food. So it used to just be people would say, hey, you need a buck, deliver pizzas, right? And that for so long, that was the option, right?
Right.
The only thing that was delivered was pizza. But now we have Uber Eats, we have, you know, DoorDash and Delivery Dudes and so many different companies that all do food delivery. So food delivery is a big thing. I don't think that that's going away even post pandemic.
No.
Once people get a taste of convenience that they're willing to pay for, you know, that's not going away.
No. I just did a quick Google search. Here we go. And we've talked about this before because you do teaching also, right?
I do. Yes. Yeah, I do so teach online for tutoring, university online. Yep.
You can make courses on Udemy, Udemy, online tutoring, voiceover work. A lot of people do that. Freelance writing. There's a lot of these blog websites that if you're good at writing articles, they'll pay you to write these articles.
Oh, yeah. Ghostwriting is a big thing.
That is a big one. People make six figures doing that. They just write articles.
Task Rabbit, you know, you could be hired to assemble someone's IKEA purchase.
You know what? You couldn't pay me.
Heck, I would pay someone for that.
Oh, yeah, exactly. No, I'm looking to hire people to do that for me. But I just did a Google. There's so many articles on here. Everybody's got an article about the best hustles. Tons.
Right. Yeah, so you just have insane. To find the one that fits your lifestyle and your you know, situation the best. So if you have kids at home and you don't have daycare, or it wouldn't make sense to do a hustle and pay for daycare at the same time, then that's where you should focus your searches on, is finding things that match that criteria. If you want to do something where you're out and about and you really enjoy driving your car, then find something that matches that criteria. You know, like my dad drives limo. I mean, he has a commercial license anyway, because he was a truck driver for so many years. But depending on what your background and certifications are, you might be eligible for side hustles that not everyone else is. So find something that's in the arena that matches your background. Like Craig, you know, you've been in the business of, I guess I don't even know what business you've been in, like radio, TV and all that. And now from the moment I've known you, you were streaming on some kind of platform. And now it just happens that you're doing gaming streaming.
Yeah. But I took all those skills I've learned over time. I worked at an actual radio station. I actually worked for CBS radio. All that experience came up to COVID. I was bored last July. I got furloughed from Marriott. I was on emergency leave from an airline. And I said, I don't know what I'm supposed to do now. So, I mean, we were doing the podcast, but podcasting wasn't doing as well during COVID because people weren't out exercising. People were not out. Yeah, that's when people listen to podcasts. So I already had all this stuff. I'm like, let me try streaming on Facebook. And so I did it, and it worked. And now I've quit those other jobs that I went back to because this is doing so much better than those combined that it was getting in the way. So now I'm doing this full time.
Right.
Which allows Amanda to see us actually do this. I'm in the middle of redoing our podcast imaging and stuff like that. So this is like all full time now. So,
Just find something in the area which you're interested in or in which you're qualified. You know, if you're a professional, there might reach out to your colleagues and see if they need help just picking up a few things on their end, you know, like that would work in the case of most professionals, obviously doctors, it's a little harder, but, you know, you can reach out to your lawyer friends and say, hey, do you need help with anything, filing, anything like that? Google and then just start brainstorming.
Yeah. Question number two, I want to get another cell phone just in case I lose my first one or for emergency purposes. What is the cheapest way to go about this? That's kind of like prepaid. Savings.
Yeah, no, I think that it's not really that silly. I think it makes sense. We've talked about before that not every cell carrier is created equal. So you might find yourself in a situation where, you know, your normal cell carrier's signal is down. Maybe a storm came through or something else and, you know, you have to swap to another network and it's easier just to pick up a phone that's connected to that other network, carrier's network. So I don't think it's that unreasonable, but I wouldn't want to be paying a monthly charge for it unless it was going to happen on a frequent basis. So my suggestion is to go with something that's prepaid.
There you go. And you don't need to have this now. You can literally walk into Walmart at any time and buy a track phone. Or any of these other phones right there. And once you buy it, you activate, you're up and running within minutes. Because I've done that before.
Yeah.
So it's not something you have to do now. Because now it's an extra expense. The reason why I laughed, Amanda, I didn't mean to laugh at this joke. But when people, this topic has come up before. And people will say, I need another phone, you know, for emergencies. People buy a second phone for a lot of different reasons. And a lot of times it's not an emergency.
And it's also not always for legitimate reasons
or relationship reasons. Or,
I was using legitimate pretty. Yeah. Okay. There. You.
That's why I was kind of chuckling. I'm saying, you know, for emergency, I'm like in quotations, air quotes.
Yeah. Emergencies. Maybe emergencies is in quotations and we don't know. In which case you definitely want a burner phone.
So it's called a burner phone. So the what I'm trying to say is they wanted to go ahead and have this now. I'm like, why do you need it now? I mean, maybe I don't want to know, but just walk into Walmart and buy it. All the phones are sitting there and they're all done by the different carriers. There's only three carriers and all these discount phones are on all those networks. So the T-Mobile one or the track phone or something like that, you can walk in any 24-hour Walmart and buy a phone today. Plain and simple. It's that easy. So
yeah, I think Walmart's one of the cheapest. I wouldn't want to be paying two cell carriers every month for
no.
A just in case reason. So get it prepaid.
Yeah. And whatever your reason is, I hope it goes well. Question number three, my employer doesn't offer retirement benefits. I have no idea where to start investing in retirement. Help. That was a loaded question.
Yes.
So I think we need to start with the baby steps with this person. Even though you don't have a 401k at your employer, that's where the IRA comes involved. But first we need to go back because my thinking is if they don't have any idea about investing in retirement, they probably have not created a budget. They haven't even started with baby step one. We need to start with baby step one, which is your initial $1,000 emergency fund. Pay off all your debt is baby step two, except for the mortgage. Baby step three.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think we need to go through the baby steps in this case. What do you think?
Yeah, I agree for sure. You definitely want to make sure you're doing things in the right order. People get panicked when they see other people talking about retirement. And it's like the shiny thing and the squirrel, right? Mm-hmm. You need to focus on what's in front of you so that you're set yourself up for the best success possible. If your employer doesn't offer retirement benefits, that's fine. Not every employer does. Then you still have the option of doing an individual retirement account, and that's an IRA. That's literally what the letters stand for.
Yeah.
And you can open that up with any provider. We prefer one of the low the three low-cost providers that we identified are Schwab, Fidelity, and Vanguard. So you can open an account for free, just fill out all the right paperwork, and you can fund the account. Your maximum amount you can contribute to a combined IRA allocation each year is $6,000, unless you're in the catch-up eligibility, and then you can add an additional $1,000 to that. So I just want to be super clear here. Even if you open up three IRA accounts, you can't put $6,000 in each account. It's total, $6,000 total into your IRA contributions each year. So if you have three accounts, you can only do like $2,000 in each one.
I wish we could, though.
I know.
Because I'd have about 20 of those suckers if I could. But yeah.
The IRS will know. So total across all of your accounts, you can only contribute $6,000 per year to your IRAs. So that's one option. And then really, you're kind of limited in terms of tax-advantaged accounts, but you're unlimited in your ability to invest otherwise. So you can certainly open up any type of regular brokerage account and make your investments there in the same way that you do in your IRA account, you know, picking out S&P 500 index funds. The only difference there is that you're going to be paying income tax on the money when you take withdrawals on it.
There you go. Yeah, just go to Schwab.com or Fidelity.com or Vanguard.com, and IRA is sitting right there. You can do this in 15 minutes. The toughest part is doing it.
Yeah, and you want to do a Roth if you're eligible, because right. That means that you're contributing your money after it's already been taxed, but that you won't pay any income tax on it when you withdraw it during retirement.
And you will be transferring this money from your bank account. So it's already been taxed if it's already in your bank account. You're literally doing a wireless transfer into the account. It's that easy.
If you've already received the money, it's already been taxed.
Yeah, so you're good to go.
Hey, as long as you're a W-2 employee.
Yeah. There you go. Yeah. Hey, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be back right after this. And we have something about life insurance, which we have not talked about in a while.
We haven't.
No. Actually, two questions about insurance. I think
that means our listeners are listening.
Yeah. So we got two life insurance questions come up, which we have not talked about in months. And another Roth 401k question. We'll be back right after this. You're listening to Rock and Money.
Hey there, rock stars. Amanda here with ChoiceRealtyConnect.com. Are you about to sell your home or excited to buy your first or next home? I'll be honored to help you find an expert to work with you in your local area. At ChoiceRealtyConnect.com, I'll help match you with up to three qualified licensed agents that specialize in your specific market. Choice Realty Connect serves every zip code in all 50 states with a network of 15,000 top-rated agents that are ranked within the top 5% for sales. Whether you're selling or looking for a condo, new construction, retreat, vacation property, or you're a first-time home buyer, let me connect you with the perfect top agent today. ChoiceRealtyConnect.com. The choice is yours.
Amanda Braun is a Florida licensed real estate with a brokerage, Realty Connect.
Rockland, USA.
You're listening to Rock on the Money. This is Amanda and Craig, and check us out on Facebook, facebook.com/rockonthemoney. Hey, Amanda, I spent about 5 hours the other day fixing our Facebook page.
What was wrong with it?
I could not post on it.
Oh.
I went to go post about our podcast. I'm like, the thing where you could actually do a post was not there. I'm like, where'd it go? It took forever. You know, it's not like I can call. Hey, let me just call Facebook customer support. Oh, no. No, that doesn't exist. So it took so many screens and everything to get it fixed. So, So things that we've been telling you we're going to do, like stream, I couldn't even stream or anything. Nothing. It was there, just couldn't use it. So the fun of running a business, Amanda.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. I should have had you handle it. Hey, no Amanda, way. Can you fix this?
No, it sounds like you got it handled.
Yeah. Good job. Well, 5 years, 5 hours of my life, I can't get back.
Well, what else were you doing?
Well, video games, obviously. Question number four. Should I cancel my life insurance or my wife's life insurance and put towards the mortgage? And they are on baby step six, by the way, Amanda. And then we have some numbers to go with this question. So the net worth is almost a million. The debt left on the mortgage is only $75,000. Their life insurance is $75 a month, and it's for $1 million. The wife life insurance is $500,000, $115 a month. And they have one, here, listen to this, one dependent at 18 years old, fully funded $529 for college.
Well, so the things we think about when we think about whether someone needs life insurance is whether they have anyone who is dependent on their income for their survival.
Right.
So here they've identified that they have one individual who's 18 years old, who's dependent on their income. Right. Now he's 18, so he's, you know, on the cusp of independence, right?
Right. And they used the word dependent.
They did say dependent. So I'm gonna assume that while this person is still going to college, they're going to be depending on mom and dad for support for their, you know, food and housing probably.
Right.
The fully funded 529 for college is awesome. That means that they're mostly taken care of. So I think this 18-year-old could probably figure it out if something happened. I wouldn't say that they are completely dependent on your income for survival. That's really our threshold here, is for survival. So I think you'd be okay canceling your insurance policy, or at the minimum, you'd be okay reducing your policy. But here's the other thing. In this case, you have a net worth of almost $1 million. So if something were to happen to one of you, well, certainly if something happened to both of you, then that, hopefully you have your wills in order, and we have an episode dedicated to estate planning in our archive, but hopefully you have your wills set up so that this net worth would then bequest to your son, or it is a son, and then they'd be set without the insurance policies. You don't need the insurance.
Right.
If something only happens to one of you, then you still have the nearly $1 million for the survivor that they can share with the son. I think at most, you probably don't need more than a couple $100,000 in coverage for each person. I definitely don't think you need $1 million. I'm really curious why the $1 million policy is only $75 a month and the half $1 million policy is $115 a month.
I'm glad you said that. Unless
it makes
she has
me think that one
reasons,
of them is a whole life in policy and the other one's probably term.
And here's the one thing. I'm glad you mentioned the term policy. If you have term policies, I kind of tend to have people finish those out. Usually it's 20 years.
Yeah.
20 or 30 years. And if they're this late in their life, they probably only have like 5 years left of it. And usually it's not that expensive. They only have $75,000 left on their mortgage. Yeah. I assume they're still working. They can pay that off relatively quickly.
Yeah.
If they wanted to.
Yeah, so term is the only type of insurance you should have.
Right. We don't do any other
whole or universal or what else do they call it?
Now they've come up with new versions. I just heard other ways of doing it, but we only do term life insurance.
Where they try and tell you,
well,
it's also a savings account. You're making money. You can cash it out. Yeah.
Yeah, insurance is not an investment, people. It's for insuring. Investments are investments. Insurance is for insurance. Term life is the only one you need to have. And then when you have no dependencies, no one depends on your income, you can get rid of it. I don't have life insurance.
I don't either.
And people are shocked by it. I'm like, yeah, but why do I need it? There's no reason for me to have it.
You know what? I had someone get really snippy with me once saying, oh, so you're saying that we shouldn't have it, and what? We're just supposed to come up with money for the funeral on our own? I'm thinking,
Yeah, that's part of your budget. Yes, you make a buck. Yeah. If you have
an emergency fund
if you have enough money stored away in investments, stuff like that, there's plenty in there to burn me in a pine box. It's like $2,500. There's plenty of money there to take care of that.
Yeah. They're like, I need $25,000 for a funeral. I'm like, you really don't. Yeah.
No, you don't.
So, I mean, everyone's entitled to get snippy. Just don't be surprised when I get snippy back.
There you go. Oh, I do that on my live stream all the time. People get shocked. I'm like, I don't beat around the bush. I'm going to tell you the way it is.
Yeah.
Question number five. Another life insurance question. Does a single man need life insurance?
Okay, so we mostly covered this already.
Yeah, we did.
The answer is probably not. If no one else is dependent on your income for their survival, then most likely not. I mean, what do you think your life insurance is going to pay for when it pays out? Who's it going to go to and why?
What's the point? Right. I took this question from another Facebook group. Didn't come into us. And reading the comments is what shocked me. What people are thinking. They're like, really? Well, what if you have parents? How are they going to get money from you? A lot of the comments were about the funeral part. Who's going to pay for the funeral?
Yeah.
So now the parents have to pay for it. People really worried more about funerals than anything. And that shocks me. Why are people so worried about funerals? What's the deal with that?
So I don't want to downplay the fact that funerals can be expensive and it is an expense and someone's going to have that burden to pay for it.
Right.
That you shouldn't have to have a life insurance policy for it.
What was that TV show that Penn and Teller did called Bull? They did a whole thing about the funeral industry, about how they get you at your worst time and all the little expenses they go in with hidden cameras. We've talked about this before. I recommend everyone looking at that. You will look at funerals totally different. It is a big business and they take advantage of you. When you go to a funeral parlor, when you go to make the arrangements, you should always take an unbiased friend that will protect you when you sit down and you go through the shopping for the pillow or the casket, the mural that goes on the top of the casket. All those are extra expenses for your casket. I have my personal belief is I don't want money wasted on my funeral. That's the way
It can certainly, so even if someone pays for it up front, like the parents are left to pay for it,
right,
they can still get reimbursed from the estate later on once everything either goes through probate or, you know, it's handled through the executor of the estate. Usually the final expenses are subject to the estate would bear the cost. It just is a matter of timing, right? Like the estate may not be ready to pony up that money a day after the passing.
I mean, let's
take
the
single man.
So it's
more like a reimbursement situation.
Well, the single man has a vehicle, I'm sure. You sell the vehicle, that will come up with some money. He has belongings like computers or whatever. Once you sell all the stuff afterwards, you can come up with the money to reimburse for the funeral.
Yeah, you can also just buy funeral insurance.
There you go.
That's very different than life insurance.
Last question.
Yeah, that's how if people are really concerned, sorry to belabor this, but this is what I get all the time from people is I need life insurance to pay for the funeral. Well, then buy funeral insurance.
I do. I'm shocked at how much emphasis people put on funerals. This comes up a lot with money. I'm like, of everything out there that can go on financially, why is everybody worried about the funeral? You're number one, I'm dead. I don't care. Okay. The funeral is not for the person that passed. It's for the survivors.
Yeah.
That's what a funeral really is. So,
funeral insurance policies are like $20 a month most.
There you go.
You know,
it's better to put that $20 a month in a bucket. And over time you can come up with $10,000. You can spend $10,000 for a funeral is pretty average. If you're going to do the plot and the whole thing. Question number six.
Just saw here. A dollar buys $50,000 in funeral expenses.
$50,000? What are we doing? A parade?
Yeah, I don't know.
What are we doing with $50,000?
Okay.
That's a heck of a headstone. That's one of those big...
Anyway. The point is, if you're concerned about funeral costs, then you buy funeral insurance. You don't buy life insurance.
Hey, Amanda, are you worried about your funeral costs?
No,
I'm not. I could care less. And I want to be cremated. I know religion kind of enters this whole thing. It does, but.
Well, I know we sound flippant. I understand there's a very important ritualistic aspect of laying someone to rest. And I'm not trying to downplay that
at
all.
I'm not either.
There is a broad range of cost associated with that. And there are choices that you can make along the way that honestly are going to have little to no impact on the meaningfulness of that ceremony. No one's going to know the difference between, you know, $1,000 Costco casket or a $10,000 one from the funeral home. The wood is going to look like the wood.
and I was going to bring that up. I'm not saying you should go visit a funeral parlor just for, you know, a Saturday drive. Okay. But if you ever go by a place, walk in one. where they have everything out laid out so you can see the cost, okay?
Yes.
The pine box is in the very back.
Yeah.
Where you can't see it. The most expensive stuff is all laid out in the front. I'm not making this up. It's how it's done. The pine box for the cremation is in the back and it's dirt cheap. Yeah. There's a reason for that.
Do you remember the Big Lebowski? Where
yes, yes.
They're like, this is our most modest receptacle.
People think we're making this up.
Okay? And I ended up getting a coffee can, you know, like it's a receptacle, basically.
Yeah.
All right. So we had fun with that. Okay.
It's number six. So I turned 59 and a half in October. I have enough money in my Roth 401k to pay off my HELOC. Thank goodness they're doing that. And then my debt is left to a 2.875 mortgage with 6.5 years left. Would you take that money and pay it off? Or do I do better by just leaving it in my 401k? Amanda, what is the answer to this?
Oh, this is an interesting one.
It's a little interesting, though.
So, first of all, let's talk about the fact that it's important to note that this individual just turned 59 and a half.
Right.
So our answer would be very different if this person weren't eligible to make withdrawals from their retirement plan.
Well, here's my concern, real quick.
Yeah.
They're 59 and a half, okay, and now they can touch their 401k.
Yes.
I don't know if they're ready to retire yet because I don't even know what the balance is. But they want to take the money out of their 401k from work, which might be the only retirement plan they have, to pay off a HELOC. And then they want to use it to pay off their mortgage. Well, what about their retirement checks when they hit 65 or 72 or whenever they're able to retire? Because now you've touched your 401k. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it's like, okay, you dipped in there to get out of debt. You robbed it. Yeah, there's no penalty because it's a Roth, because it's 59 and a half. But you're now are robbing that money to pay off something instead of just working another side hustle to pay off your debt.
Right. Yeah. So unless you're ready to retire, then I wouldn't. I would just stop making contributions and put all your money towards paying off the debt.
Because HELOC is actually a baby step two item.
Yeah, you shouldn't be making any retirement contributions and when you have a HELOC. That's the other thing, yeah.
They're not doing the baby steps. They're kind of backwards here. And then the mortgage is baby step six. So it looks like we're on baby step two and we're trying to rob our 401k, even though we can do it.
Well, so this is just a little concerning to me because the way it's worded, it implies that they only have enough in their Roth 401k to pay off their HELOC.
Good point. Good catch. Yeah, that means so they have no retirement.
I don't think this is really a retirement account. I think it's just a secondary retirement account.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Good point.
There must be some other account that they're relying on as a primary for. I hope that there's a different account that they're relying on.
That is a good point. I do have two small 401ks out there still because I just left two jobs. But I'm waiting for all the paychecks to finalize before I move them all, you know, consolidate them. So it could be, like you said, it could be just a smaller 401k.
Yeah.
We don't have enough.
I have enough to pay off my HELOC and then my only debt left is the mortgage.
Yeah. Yeah. We don't have enough information on this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But in that case, I might think about using that money to pay off the HELOC. Yeah.
I got you. So if it is your only retirement plan, don't. But if it's a secondary, like I got a couple of them.
Yeah. Like maybe you just did a couple years somewhere else after you left a longer term job, you know. Or maybe it's from somewhere you didn't roll over, you know, then sure.
Boy, I have a lot of rollovers to do right now, Amanda. Holy crap. I leave all these jobs. I'm like, how do I get all this over to Schwab? Because that's what I'm going to get all over into an IRA.
It's pretty easy.
I know it's easy, but well, one of the companies is a pain in the butt. I don't want to say which one it is, but they're based here in Bethesda, Maryland.
Mm.
It's a hotel company. That one's a pain in the butt. I don't know how. They've made it so complicated to get out of there. The other one's easy. That's the hard one. It's a weird 401k, and I never liked it in the beginning, so.
Hey, Craig, do we have just a few minutes left?
Sure.
Hey, I saw you had posted a question in our Facebook group about how they would save money.
Oh, yeah. What would be proposing there?
Let me find it. I thought that that might be fun to share with everyone.
So the question that we asked the group was, finish this sentence. My best tip for saving money is...
Question. Yeah, and we had some really great comments here.
Yeah, go ahead and you find somebody.
Yeah, I found it. I found it. So one is meal planning, and that is a huge one, and I just love this. So you know, having a menu, stick to it, saves you weekly on the impulse eating, for sure. And then, you know, you impulse eat because you can't figure out what's for dinner, so you end up like saying, well, let's just go pick something up, or let's order takeout or Uber Eats, right? Or I'm too tired, I don't know what to do. Right. So make the menu and then make a grocery list based off of the menu and then cross-reference that with what you already have in your house so that you're not overbuying and wasting food too. So that has saved this person $300 a month for their family of four just by doing a little bit of planning. This one person says, stay off Amazon. Other people I've seen said, delete the Amazon app. Amazon came up a lot in responses is all I'm going to say.
Let me tell you, I've become very anti-Amazon, by the way.
Yeah.
Amazon came up a lot, like you said, yeah.
It does come up a lot. Yeah. Lisa says, maintain and repair belongings. We've talked about this before in our Savvy Savings. So by doing this, you will not need to purchase new items as often, which can save lots of money. Pay with cash. Cash is king. We've talked about that before too. It actually came up the other night when I went out to pick up a slice of pizza, and they're like, okay, just run your card. And he already had the terminal set up to run a card. And I was like holding out cash to hand him. He's like, oh, sorry, everyone pays with their card. He's like, yeah. He's like, I only carry cash too, because I don't spend it as much. I was like, exactly. So paying with cash, it makes a big difference psychologically. This Mary says, no brand loyalty. It doesn't have to be tied to get your clothes clean.
True.
That's why a lot of people said stop spending it. Yeah. Richard says, take it off the top. So before anything else happens or gets paid, put the savings into your savings account. Like have it automatically withdrawn from your paycheck each time so you don't even see it.
Nice. I love that one.
Yep. That one's come up. Rachel said the same thing. Have it go directly into a savings account from your paycheck. Delete the Amazon app.
Oh, man.
Don't eat out. Don't go to grocery store hungry.
We actually have good viewers and listeners here. I mean, they're nailing
this,
it.
This Scott says, don't have kids.
Well, there's that.
If you've got them, you're kind of already stuck with them, though.
Yeah. Where are you?
Check prices or ask the price before you buy and keep an eye on the register to make sure it rings up the correct amount. That's happened to me before. This one person says, sit on your hands.
There you go. I think that goes with the Amazon app.
I think, yeah, then you probably can't open your Amazon app.
Exactly.
Don't buy things you don't need or can't pay cash for. That's a great one.
The big
Stay
thing
home with no social media.
There you go. The big thing with that the Amazon thing is it's a lot of third party companies, and those prices are not necessarily a great price.
Yeah.
You really gotta do the shopping as we're getting into the holiday season, Amanda. I know it's August, but the Christmas trees are up right now and there's holiday candy out there. So when you do the shopping, I don't do it on my phone because you can't compare prices. I do it on my computer desktop. Yeah. Because I can pull up multiple websites. But that Amazon thing is not a money saving or at all.
Yeah. At all. Here's an interesting one. So Sandra says, don't get a basket when I go to the store.
Ooh.
That's great. You can only buy as much as you can carry, right?
Oh, I like that. I like that.
That's great. And here's an important one. Know the difference between a want and a need.
Yeah, I saw that one. Yeah.
That's a good one. So it happens to me all the time. If I find something and it's more than, you know, I don't know what the dollar amount is, but there must be a dollar amount that hits where psychologically I'm like, I don't want to spend that much money.
Yeah.
Unlike a shirt or a dress. I think it's over like maybe $13.
Yeah.
So if it's more than that, I usually will end up leaving it in the store and then deciding the next day if I want it bad enough to go back for it.
That is a good point. If there's any big ticket items, sleep on it.
Yeah.
Sleep on it.
Now, I know you can't always do that with everything because...
No.
You
know, but don't go car shopping just to look.
Or RV shopping just to look.
Yeah. I'm just going to go look because the psychology of the store is designed to get you to buy. And if you're not aware of that, you will end up buying.
Yeah.
They pay millions to figure out how to get you to buy one thing in that store, even if you walk in.
So that's it. I just thought we'd run through a couple of quick tips from our listeners. Thank you so much for everyone who contributed.
Yeah, that was awesome. We'll do more of that so we can include it in the podcast. All right, that was great. Thank you so much, Amanda.
You can find Amanda on Instagram and Twitter at Agile Amanda. And you can find me on all of your favorite social media platforms at Rockland USA. Don't forget to check out the website and subscribe to the podcast. All the links are right there on the front page, rockonthemoney.com. Please subscribe and leave comments to our podcast on Apple, Google, Spotify, or even your favorite app that you got right there on your phone. Those help us out a lot. If you're ever looking for a specific topic or content that we've produced over time, just go to the website and in the search bar, just type in your topic, be it 401k, stimulus check, or anything, and everything comes right up for you. We have so much gratitude that you've taken the time out of your day to listen to our podcast while you're walking, driving, traveling, or whatever you're doing. Please send us an email. Let us know how you're doing out there. Podcast at rocklandusa.com. So long, everybody. Thank you very much again. We'll see you again next time. America's Rockland USA. All opinions expressed by the host are solely their own and do not reflect the views of any company, affiliates, or advertisers. Investments or strategies mentioned in the show may not be suitable for you. Before acting on any information in the show, you should consider whether it is suitable for your particular circumstances and strongly consider seeking advice from your own financial or investment advisor.